From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
How are you, Chiefs Kingdom? We have a great show for you today, and it's really going to be part of a two or maybe even a three-parter by the time I'm done editing, but we have specifically all Mahomes all the time for the next day or two with the sultry sounds of Matt Waldman of the RSP. He's done extensive research in looking at the film, looking at the stats, looking at the footwork of Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to go deep dive into everything about your new quarterback. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we're going to get started right now. Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs, and we have a really special show for you. We teased it about a month ago, last time Matt Waldman was on with us, but we got him back, and it looks like he's been doing a lot of work. How are you, Matt?
Man, I've been doing great. It's been fun. You know, you get a chance to look at the treasure trove of NFL Game Pass and check some things out, and, you know, I'm like a kid in a candy store.
How many screens do you have in front of you?
Two large computer screens, and then I have my TV that's about a little bigger than that. It's a little more modest than what it probably sounds like.
Gets the job done though.
It does, man. It does. I work it. I don't think I have any. My wife went to type on my keyboard the other day, and she was looking down to look at the letters, and there were no letters on the keys. And she's like, "Oh my man, what is going on with you?" So.
Well, we have a ton to talk about today, and honestly, folks, if you're hearing this, is my guess going to be the first part of at least two, and we'll just see how long we get on this. But a lot of Chiefs specific stuff that you've been looking at recently, and I know I talked about it on RGR Football on YouTube, and folks, if you haven't checked that out, make sure you check that. It's in the links. You can also get all of this information the same way I do by going to mattwaldmanrsp.com and get all of Matt's content, because he's doing the work for you. And quite honestly, he's doing some of the work for me too. So thanks, Matt.
Man, my pleasure. You made me look good, and you actually made it look better than I did. So I was very impressed with the YouTube video. So I think your listeners are going to really look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Well, and the thing that I was hitting at with that, when I did that one, it was you were first looking at Sammy Watkins. So we should probably start there. And I think your big takeaway is that, and I'm relating to what you had to say, is that Sammy is really in a position to be maybe the Uber Sammy that we maybe haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think he is, because when you look back at his career, it really, you don't even want to look back at Buffalo as much as you want to look at Clemson. And you think about that Clemson offense and it being a spread unit and him often playing inside and outside. And he was a versatile threat. And I remember doing, I republished my scouting report on him pre-draft and kind of said there are two types of Sammy Watkins that you could see in the NFL if things work out well. One is kind of the old Jaguars, Jimmy Smith, deep threat guy who can, you know, blow the top off of a defense and also be kind of in the red zone and be physical enough to give you some nice perimeter work. But then there's the all around Sammy Watkins, the guy that gets moved around the formation, used in the slot, used as an X and also as a Z, and being able to, you know, get open in the middle of the field, run strong routes, and technically sound player who often gets used even in the run game, whereas that run game substitute that spread offenses often do. And it sure looks like, based on what everyone's reporting in camp and how Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense have kind of designed things, that Watkins is slated for that second role.
Well, you talk about that, and you haven't even dove into what I think is going to really make Sammy a special wide receiver in this offense and just in general in the NFL. He seems to do a lot of the really small things that you don't talk about wide receivers enough, in my opinion, that they need to do those small things well, like catching with their fingers, running good routes, and getting separation because of body control and the way he's able to manipulate his body.
Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, it's the details that separate really the best from the rest when you get into the NFL. And one of the things that was always exciting about Watkins' play is that he understood how to get separation either against press coverage or off man coverage. He was very good at being able to drag his feet at the boundary and not just tap the toes in. There's a difference with that when you face tight coverage, you know, because you're facing tight coverage and you get pushed while you're trying to jump or and dot your toes in, you're going to get pushed out of bounds as opposed to dragging your feet, so that when someone does get close enough to push you as you're making the catch, your feet are still on the ground and in bounds. So little things like that, and especially, you know, just against separation at the against tight coverage at the line, he does have a variety of moves. He's physical and he understands how to attack the ball. There are a lot of guys that catch the ball with their hands and use the right, correct fingertips technique. And that fingertips technique is to really afford you second chances. I often kind of compare it to that. If you catch the ball with your palms, the ball's kind of like the end of a drumstick hitting a taut drum, snare drum. It just is going to rebound off really quick and out of control if you hit it hard enough and you don't have a tight enough grip of the stick. Whereas if you have, you're catching with your fingertips, each of your fingertips is kind of individualized wonders of bioengineering that can really slow the spin of the ball. So it's like several shock absorbers that are kind of adjusting to that spin and then clamping down on it. And so the ball doesn't rebound off as fast when it strikes those fingertips because they all separately kind of slow it. And if the ball does rebound off, it doesn't rebound off as violently and it gives you a second chance opportunity. So Watkins has always been good at catching the ball that way, whether it's a high target or low target. But then on top of that, he's also good at being able to attack the ball early at the earliest window. He's not just waiting for the ball to come overhead when he's got someone tight against him. He knows how to get position and also to extend his arms away so that when he's in the red zone, or he's very good in the red zone. I mean, think about, he didn't really have a lot of receptions last year, but I think he had 8 touchdowns last year. And that's something that you can, and you look at the usage that they had with him in the red zone, and they were just design plays. Sometimes, you know, just kind of one-on-ones or working off of a stacked player, a player that he was stacked with so that he could get an easy fade route without having to deal with getting separation. So the timing would be perfect with the quarterback. Or plays where he's basically targeted in between two defenders on a kind of a slant, and they had to squeeze it in between two guys, and he still had to extend and attack it and win it while, you know, people were trying to claw at the ball. And I was just watching Miami receiver Amon Richards this morning, who was having multiple difficulties being able to do that, exactly what Sammy Watkins does to a T. And Richards is considered probably a top 10 prospect at his position heading into the draft this year.
Well, did you talk about specifically being able to reach out and go get the ball? And you actually brought up a route that Ryan is going to absolutely love Sammy Watkins for, and that is the slant, because of the way he attacks the ball and using his hands as opposed to letting the ball get into his body. And that is huge, especially when you're talking about slants and things that are cutting in into the middle of the field where there are more players around.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, because a lot of people will talk about Sammy Watkins and say, oh, he's not the fastest receiver. You know, he's a vertical threat, but he's not an electric vertical threat, or he's not, you know, he's not this guy or not that guy. But who cares? He's fast enough, and that's the point. He's always been fast enough. And one of the things that he does extremely well is get separation quickly. He's very quick off the line, and he's polished with the different types of techniques that he will use, because he not only has, you know, a good chop move, he can rip, he can also duck his shoulders through, he can set up with various footwork and handwork moves. He'll even get a little physical with guys where he'll work into a defender's body and kind of dip his shoulders and spin off. And it's not so much of a push off as it is him forcing the defender to get on his heels a little bit, because he's driving into the defender's body and then spinning off of it. And he does a really good job of that. That helps on routes that are short routes, even slants. And he turns into a running back in terms of his body lean and pad level early. He's not going to break a ton of tackles, but he's a guy who gets yards after the catch because he can lean over hits and kind of drive through lighter defenders and push the pile a bit and get you that extra, you know, 1 to 3, 2 to 4 yards body length to, you know, turn a 4-yard play into, you know, a 7-yard play. And so those types of things are going to work out well with him. And with Patrick Mahomes, you know, certainly Alex Smith in the short and intermediate game will target you and with a lot of anticipation and in tight windows, but Mahomes will do it, you know, in every range of the field. So I think that in the red zone, where Smith wasn't as apt to do that, we're going to see Mahomes be a really nice target for Watkins be a really nice target for Mahomes on those fade routes and slant routes, one-on-ones there where Mahomes is going to be confident to say, you want the ball on your right hip, just above your thigh. That's where it's going to be. We're going to run this back shoulder fade and I'm going to have the ball out so quickly that, if you don't turn around quick enough, it's going to fall past you, before you finish your turn. I saw that in the preseason game where Mahomes targeted DeMarcus Robinson in that fashion, and Robinson could only get one hand on it because the anticipation and placement were actually really good. But Robinson, you could argue, might have been a little slow to respond to that and not be prepared for it to be there exactly where it was at that point. So Watkins gives you that ability to be really in sync as a physical player, but also quick enough. So he kind of gives you, if you're going to look at Tyreek Hill and as one range of option and Travis Kelce as another range of option, they really didn't have a guy who could be a blend of both. And now Watkins gives them that guy in the middle of the spectrum who can do a little bit of both ends of those spectrums.
Positionally, I just want to ask you, if you were calling the plays, knowing what Eddie wants to do with the stacks and the forward wides that are going to move around, where would you like to see Sammy work out of positionally the most?
I think that the thing, probably for me, it doesn't make as much sense for me to put Tyreek Hill on the outside as much as like an X, even though you've seen probably in practice where he does win some balls against tight coverage and he's faced some, pretty physical players, but you didn't see that happen as much in games. And so for me, it's kind of like as a non-observer of practices and only of games, I'm still waiting to see proof of what I heard about last year. So with Watkins, I know I'm going to get that. With Watkins, I know that he's a polished outside guy. So I want to see him start on the outside because that's where it makes the most sense to use him. But what I really want is I want he and Kelce and Hill to basically switch spots and switch roles so often pre-snap that it just confuses defenses and drives them crazy. Because what I want to see is as soon as you think you've got a pattern on what they're going to do with a certain play call with Hill and where he's running free up a seam, then they're going to do it with Kelce. Or if they're doing it with Kelce and it's working out, next thing you know, they have some motion and it's Watkins who's going to end up doing that. So I kind of want to just, what I'm hoping to see is that he's absorbed all three positions that he's likely going to play a lot in a way that they feel so free to do this that you just really, you might look at the, Pro Football Week Focus or whoever does any type of snap counts of what position they played. And ideally you'd like to see, kind of 33% across the board with all three. But I think Watkins will probably spend at least 50 to 60% of his time probably in the X, probably in the X or in the Z role. And then, when he does slot work, it's going to be high leverage stuff.
Well, I think we'll take a break here for a second, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about the guy who will be throwing to him. And that is your Patrick Mahomes.
Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com. brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
And Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no one knows, no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than at a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. And the promo code is Locked On. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So I know you put a ton of work, Matt, into looking at not only what Patrick did last preseason, but then that long wait until week 17. So many takeaways that we can go over, but overriding factor, when you look at him across the board in terms of his preparation for being the starter in 2018, what's your biggest takeaway?
And, that he's going to be...
Matt, real quick, I just have to ask, yeah. You didn't have any fun at all doing this one, did you?
No, none at all. I wasn't looking forward to this at all, you know. I mean, no, yeah. But
just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not hot in Georgia, but
yeah. <you know.
laughs> But no, I enjoyed watching him a lot. And when you take a look at both of those games, I think what you see very apparent is that he is going to be ready and he's going to be aggressive and he's extraordinarily confident. And you know, you hear those words like confidence and that's such a soft sounding skill when you're talking about film analysis. What does that really mean? You know, that's just, it's kind of a fluff word, but the way that I would define that is that with quarterbacks, so often when they are reading the field and they see the safety or cornerback or linebacker in the position that should indicate to them as they're dropping back, throw the ball to that receiver in that area. There's oftentimes a little gap in rhythm or gap in time from when the quarterback identifies that his last foot hits the end of the drop or the hitch and the ball should be coming out. There's a hesitation like, for real? Like, am I sure? And you see that, and oftentimes even veteran pros are late with their throw or completely miss it because of the fact that they waited too long and they just don't hit the mark. Mahomes is not that player most of the time. I would say more often than not, it's like, I saw it and it's gone. And if he didn't see it right, then he's just going to look at you and go, I thought I saw it. So I let it rip, you know, and that's where the issue may come with him. But confidence is important.
Well, yeah. And it's also better to be that direction than be the other direction, because in my mind, at least, the other direction where you're second guessing what you saw, that leads to interceptions.
Yes. It late pass. I mean, Deshaun Kizer had that all last year and all at Notre Dame is his junior year.
Yep. So you have to be able to make that decision quickly, and his ability to make that decision quickly, I think, will help him this year. So you had a lot of fun watching the preseason games, but I think you also had a lot of fun probably watching the Denver game. What did you see that were big differences between preseason and the final game against Denver?
I think more than anything is that you saw one thing that I know that, you know, Dan Orlovsky, who is kind of an up and coming analyst, former quarterback out of Connecticut, who's played with a variety of NFL teams. And he mentioned this and he actually corrected me on something because it's so funny. Like, you know, if you're writing something, you know, you have a common misspelling or grammar error. I tend to have my common grammar error when I'm watching film is that sometimes I'll mistake cover three for cover one, and depending on how the cornerback drops off and plays, and because you're looking at the reads of the safety and corners, and it looks like one high safety when it's actually the two defenders running off. So I mistook a play in the preseason as being cover one, and the way that the leverage looked, I thought, well, okay, he shouldn't have thrown this deep post to DeMarcus Robinson. So then he's trying to, you know, slide away and deal with people. And it's that big time throw that he makes at the end of the half or somewhere in that preseason game where he's like throwing off platform, getting hit in the chest, and the ball's like 55 yards on a line to Robinson on a second chance.
Oh, but everybody can do that, right?
Yeah, and anybody can do that, you know. Yeah. But what was interesting is I was talking about how he could throw himself out of a corner that the defense painted him in. And, you know, Orlovsky, who had done this analysis as well, like at the end of, I think at NFL, Good Morning NFL or whatever it is, that morning show that they do, he was noting that he actually, because it was cover three, he was actually had an opening and he just missed the read and was late on it. And so he didn't see it, and he should have gotten rid of it earlier. And that was one of the lone opportunities that when I looked at the context of the coverage and saw it again, I was like, oh yeah, that is cover three. There I go again, comma splice. But, I watched that and was like, okay, I can see where he was late with that. And that's rare for him. But then in the Broncos game, you could see that he was more decisive about some of those post routes against cover three. And to Orlovsky, that was very impressive. And I certainly understand that. It's nice to see a player who makes a mistake and then learns from it later. But then I would also add that there were so many throws in that game that were so much like what he did at Texas Tech in the middle of the field, where it was not only did he make the right read, but he knew that it was going to be a tight window, and he had no compunction whatsoever about, you know, he didn't hesitate at all. He just let that ball go, and he would squeeze it into areas that even a quarterback who was like, I mean, I've seen Drew Brees, who's made some amazing throws on that level, but I've also seen him see coverage like that and go, yeah, not today. Not today. I'm not doing that. And Mahomes has so much confidence in being able to do it, and it's so dead on that was an impressive part. But I also liked that he was throwing the ball away when he needed to, and that he also had, you know, good creativity under pressure, where he was able to move away and find, you know, second chance opportunities in rhythm to throw the ball. And that when he made a mistake, where, you know, if he tested a player and that player was able to beat him, he was also able to come back to that player and come back and target that player again or target that opponent again. And he wasn't afraid of that. So for me, the game management was important. The aggression, even after a mistake. And so what that tells me is he's mature, because a lot of young guys, I mean, think about your first job and you get your first big job or of something that you really wanted to do, or you really need the money and you're getting paid well, and you're in a situation where you're afraid to screw up, not at least until you see how your boss is going to handle it or how your teammates are going to handle things. And you don't maybe take as many chances as you should when you're young. And a lot of young guys that go through that, a lot of young people do in their early 20s when they just get out of school. But it takes a little something different to come in there and go, I'm just going to be me, and I know how to be appropriate about that, and I'm going to take my chance, even if it's a riskier type of thing that may go against convention, but I've done my homework. I've done what I'm supposed to do here. And, you know, it works out really well. And if it doesn't, still be able to have the maturity of go, yeah, I own that, but, you know, it was the right move, and this is why, and then just move on. And a lot of young people need, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to figure that out in certain work atmospheres. And Mahomes is in that age range of those people, and you're seeing him, you know, lead a team and command it and be accountable about it and still be aggressive and not try to just do everything just perfectly. He's just playing his game, and that's what they wanted him to do. And that's usually what everyone wants an employee to do if they've hired well. And so he's doing it, and that's impressive in itself.
I'm glad you mentioned homework, because that's something that I've gotten a lot of questions in multiple areas, not just Kansas City, but in media across the country. People are asking about this rumor that for some reason Pat Mahomes hasn't learned the offense. And I say, go look at the Denver game. His pre-snap reads were on. I'll admit I didn't see him audible a whole lot, but he made the reads, and that post pattern against three, that's what you want to do, right?
Yes. Yeah, you want to split that middle of the field. He understood where to read the leverage of the safety, and that safety was either going to come down and cover the crossing route, the intermediate crossing route, working behind the dropping linebacker, or he was going to cover that post route. And in exact rhythm that you need to see, he understood, you know, he understood what he needed to look for. And in that time, you know, he's dropping back, what, three steps, and then he's going to hitch and throw to the post if it's open. And the whole if it's open is what are the pads, chest, and hips look like of that deep safety? If the safety's pointing downfield at the crossing route, he's going to hitch and throw in rhythm. And he's got to see that so quickly that if you haven't practiced that, if you haven't been able to identify that type of thing, you don't know what the routes are doing, then you're not going to do it as smoothly as he did. And then on top of it, also be able to, you know, he knows where to look off. I mean, even at the early part of that drop, he was looking far off to the right so that he was setting up the right side of the defense and kind of holding them there and holding the safety there a little bit longer and just, and then going to look at the crossing route and peek at it and see, and really look at the, read the safety. And when he saw that safety, it was instant. And he was that way with a lot of different plays. The issues that he's going to have that people are going to worry about and say that he doesn't know the offense are things that any quarterback's going to need time for when they're new in a system, which is the myriad of adjustments that happen with, you know, if they're going to be helping with protection calls or with different types of blitz looks. I mean, there are blitz looks in the NFL of hybrid types of coverage where one side's playing zone, the other side playing man, or one level's playing zone and the other's level's playing man, that can confuse young quarterbacks. It confuses older quarterbacks. Oftentimes they take timeouts or they throw interceptions and they're wondering what's going on. And you can see them oftentimes being shown on camera, looking at the, it used to be the printouts, now the, you know, the pad that they're looking at and being able to see what's, you know, what's on there and looking confused. I used to look at, you know, I used to watch Peyton Manning looking at the photos and he looked confused sometimes, you know, even in the height of his career about what they were throwing at him and how they disguised it. It's, those things happen. So I think much of it more than anything is that, you know, it's the old, I'm a beat writer. These are the storylines that I've been fed for the past 30 years. This is what, or I'm a new beat writer and this is what the guy who before me or the woman before me was fed for 15 or 20 years and what I'm told by my editor what I should expect. And so I'm looking for that angle of a story. And then I'm asking questions to fulfill or deny that.
We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back and talk about Andy Reid adjustments.
I think Andy Reid is smart enough of a coach to change the offense to fit what he does best. And as you said, in the Denver game, a lot of the throws he was making is that were plays that he did really well at were, you know, schemes that or plays, types of plays that he did at Texas Tech that made him very successful there.
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing a lot of similar things. I mean, they're spreading the offense apart. They're doing some RPO work. But you're also seeing at the same time where he's going to, you know, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you look at some of the plays that Alex Smith was successful with, and it looked like a college offense. You could have easily, if Alex Smith wasn't a 12-year veteran at that time, entering his 13th year, and you did, and you said he was a first year guy, you could have critiqued him and saying, oh, well, he's playing in a college offense that was just dumbed down. You know, they're throwing these wide open bombs to tight ends, the slot receivers and backs who've confused the safeties with pre-snap motion that are kind of predetermined. And he's wide open up the field. You know, how complicated is that really? I mean, you could have argued that if the context was that we hadn't seen Alex Smith operate NFL offense after NFL offense for 12 years. If this is the first time you ever saw him and someone told you he was a rookie, well, you could have applied the same theory and people would have believed that. So, I mean, because the Chiefs offense does, they have elements of the West Coast offense, obviously, you know, but, you know, the spread offense is basically oftentimes a very distilled version of the West Coast offense. And it's just meant to be able to create advantages based on positioning on the field. And then it's dressed up a lot with some of these pre-snap motions and shifts and different personnel and different groupings. And that's going to create mismatches. And then you play up on that. And what, you know, a lot of people criticize college offenses for back in before we started to see them really take off is that they were like, oh, well, you know, NFL defenses, they're so much more sophisticated and they read the field so much better. They're going to sniff out these option plays and sniff out some of these things that are being done. And they're just going to stuff them all the time because they're superior athletes. And what I think people forgot is, you know, these offenses are playing numbers games and they create a numbers advantage. And yeah, I don't care if you're a top NFL athlete on defense, because you're still at a numbers disadvantage against a top NFL offensive player with great athletic ability. You're still going to lose in certain situations. And that's what's been proven. And so, you know, basically these offenses have taken the cape off of the defenders as if they were superhuman when they're not. And it just shows that it does work. And we're going to see Mahomes execute this offense extremely well at points. I think he will be more aggressive on in certain types of looks where you would have said, well, Alex Smith would have never thrown that. And then at the same token, he'll make some mistakes where his detractors will say, well, Alex Smith would have never thrown that.
It goes both directions, doesn't it?
It does, man.
Well, I think we'll take a second here. And, folks, we're going to come back tomorrow and continue the conversation. So check back then, and we'll have more for you with Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.